Good morning, church family. I trust you're enjoying the spiritual journey that we've all been on, and that you'll continue to do that with us. It's more fun when you do a road trip together. And speaking of which, we do have a bit of a trip planned. We're planning to go out one Sunday morning as a church and meet somewhere. What we'll do is we'll put the details of that onto WhatsApp. What the time we're leaving and the destination, and if you'd like to come, then you'll find information there. So speaking of WhatsApp, there's been some great conversations that have been happening, and I really encourage you to keep that going, that the banter and the challenges that go out, the songs and the prayers that you're sharing with one another, the verses and your thoughts. Haven't had too many thoughts though shared about this week's passage, or silence and the challenge of the discipline of silence. And it's not an easy discipline to do, is it? Discipline sort of flies in the face of this world, the current climate as well. We are so filled with information. We've got information at our fingertips, and the entertainment aspect of what we do, we just don't seem to stop. We're either listening to something, reading or talking or whatever, but we don't really stop and just listen to God. Imagine if God had something really important to say, and that you were too busy speaking to other people, or something was going on and God's just sitting there waiting to get his word in, and we don't take the time to stop and do that. We would really miss out on something crucial that God wants to say to us. This week in the passage in 2 Samuel, David asked God a really simple question: where should I go? And God answered him. He said, I want you to go to Hebron. Now, God's got important information for us as well, and if we don't take that time to stop and listen, we'll miss out on that. Today on our journey, on our story of Pilgrim's Progress, or the dangerous journey, we're going to meet Pilgrim, and he's on his way to the cross. And I love this analogy of the fact that we are either going in one or two directions. We're either moving to Jesus or we're moving away from Jesus. In our physical bodies, that's the state usually that we're in. I can't think of any other state that we can either be in, moving towards Jesus, or some people choose to move away. In our spiritual bodies, after we pass death, I think it'll be similar. We'll either be with Jesus or we will be away from Jesus. So it's interesting to me that this story is really all about this journey of a guy walking this path and moving towards Jesus. And today we see Pilgrim and he makes his way to the cross. So let me read some of the book to you. It says how his burden had got on his back in the first place, and why no one else had burdens, as happens in dreams, we're not told. But never had he been so eager as he was now to be rid of it. And that, did he but know it, was half the battle. Now I saw in my dream that the road from then on was fenced on either side with a wall. And the wall was named Salvation. And along this road did burdened Christian run, or should we say, he did his best to run so far as he could, and with the load upon his back. At the foot of the cross, he passed an open tomb, and then again upon a little knoll, he found himself beneath a wayside cross, and as its shadow fell across him, so suddenly the burden slipped from his shoulders and it fell from his back, and it tumbled down the hill, and it tumbled into the mouth of the tomb, and it was never seen again. Christian kept feeling behind his back, and he couldn't believe it, for it was a very surprise to him that the simple act of gazing upon the cross had set him free, and his burden of guilt was gone. And as he stood there in amazement, behold, three shining ones appeared, and the first one said, "Your soul is now swept clean of sin." And the second one stripped him of his mud-stained rags and gave him bright new clothes. And the third one handed him a parchment. "Guard it carefully," he said, "and surrender it only when you have reached the gate of Celestial City." Great dangers lay ahead of him, but for the moment, he was light as air. So Christian gave three leaps for joy, and he went on singing. And this is what he was singing. "Who would true valour see? Let him come hither. One here will constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avow intent to be a pilgrim." Song is a natural response to salvation, isn't it? Praise and worship, thanksgiving for what God has done for us. It just flows. I mean, it's hard to just say thank you, but when we sing songs of worship together, it's usually a really uplifting experience for us as well. And that was what this song was about for John Bunyan when he wrote this song or hymn. It was an uplifting, joyful song that's still sung today. I noticed last week when David wrote a song, it was a funeral song, and he was really just expressing his emotion, and that's what songs do, don't they? They express our emotion. It may not have been a worship song, but it was actually David having a vent and sharing his feelings. And so today, our spiritual discipline is about worship. It's about expressing your emotion to God, and wherever you are on your journey, then you can just share that. You don't have to. You can maybe, like John Bunyan, you've experienced salvation today after meeting Jesus, and your burden falling from your back at the foot of the cross. And maybe that's you. And if that's the case, that's fantastic. And welcome to the family of God. And write a song about how you're feeling about that. Or you might be feeling like David did, and when he lost his friend, Jonathan, and Saul, the king, and he's lamenting that. And so I encourage you to take some time to write down your emotion. And it would be fantastic if you could write it in a poem form or a psalm. I know there's some creative people out there thinking already what they will do. And if you could share that on WhatsApp with the rest of the group, that would be such an encouragement. And, you know, even if you are feeling down at the moment, then please share that, because that's what being part of a church family is really all about, just sharing our thoughts and our emotions with one another. Psalms are written or songs are written for different occasions, aren't they? Some for special occasions, some victory, some loss. There's lots of psalms written about the pilgrims on the journey to Jerusalem, and the stories say that as these families are walking up towards Jerusalem, they're singing hymns on a pilgrim journey toward the festival of the Passover. After the Passover, it says that Jesus and his disciples actually sung a song, a hymn, and that I'm not sure what that hymn is, but tradition says that it's 118, and it says that in verse 22 that the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And this is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, it says, please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We will bless you from the house of the Lord. William Law, one of the old classic authors, says that they rejoiced, speaking about this passage. The disciples rejoiced in the Lord. Rather than that, they made good music. I like that idea. It's not so much that you make really good music and you have a great voice, although some people do, and that's fantastic. But it's the focus of the worship, isn't it, that's more important than the sound. And so he says, live so that your heart truly rejoices in God and feels itself affected with the praises of God. So can I encourage you to really think about just sing your song out and let it lift your soul. Let the song lift you as you think about God and all that he's done for you. Don't worry about what you sound like. If you're lucky enough, you can come out into the bush somewhere and just blast it out, or do it in the shower, wherever you like to sing. But let your soul express itself to God. And I want you to try to gather that thought and grasp it, and how that feeling makes you, how it makes you feel in terms of your response to God, what it does for your soul. So that's it for this week. Imagine yourself breathing out praise. The song says, let every breath I breathe pour out in praise to you, my King. May that be so. Worship has this way of refocusing our thoughts away from ourselves and our problems and our issues, and refocusing on God. And so that's why it's such an important discipline to do. It takes practice, especially when you're in those times where you're thinking, what else could go wrong? Refocus your thoughts on God and see what that does, and just see what that does for you. Let me pray for you today, and we'll head out into the week full of praise and worship. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We especially thank you for Jesus today and the cross, the fact that he has made salvation possible, that we can bring our burdens and lay them at the foot of the cross. And Lord, I pray that today many people will hear this message and bring their burden, take the road of salvation and lay their burden at the foot of the cross. I pray this in Jesus' name. And I pray for those who are on the journey and they're walking towards Jesus, Lord, that you'll help us to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, the aim of our faith is Jesus, to become more and more like him. And so, Father, I pray that as we overcome, as we hit into the world and we come up against problems and issues in the world, that we'll use this discipline this week, this discipline of worship, to turn our attention from ourselves and back onto you. And I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So one last thing, don't forget to keep on journaling. We really encourage you to do that. And if you can find a couple of minutes of the day, just to stop and listen and do that. And this week's homework is to write a psalm and express your emotions to God. Have a good week. How great is the one whose hope climbs the horizon? And just when it feels like the end, there's new life.